Well, good morning, church. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. I know Mother's Day is a good day, but it can be a tough day. I pastored long enough to know how painful it is for some people. I had one of my most faithful members in Iowa that she just couldn't come to church on Mother's Day. It just hurt too much. I think she wanted to have children. She may have even had some miscarriages. Never had children, and it was just a very painful day for her. And I know that sometimes that's the way it is. You know, there's a lot of pain in our lives. Maybe because you wanted to have a child and you can't, or maybe because you recently lost your mother or lost a child. And so we're grateful for this day, but we realize that there is some pain involved for many people. You know, I think of my younger days as a pastor. You know, I'm kind of thinking of me as a 21-year-old guy preaching about mothers on Mother's Day. That seems really humorous in my mind as I think about that right now. But Mother's Day was one of those days. In most of the churches I pastored, there'd be a lot of people in the church. People would come. The mothers would want them to come to church. And that was exciting and encouragement to me. And so a few weeks later, there'd be Father's Day, and I'd prepare sermons for Father's Day and get to Father's Day, and all the fathers took the kids and family out fishing. So that's kind of the difference in the attitude. So today I'm not going to preach a Mother's Day sermon. If you want advice on motherhood, I'll try to give you scriptural advice, but you'd be better asking my wife because she knows a lot more about it, and she is one of the best moms I've ever known. And so we're looking in the Gospel of Luke this morning in chapter 4. And we'll be looking at the first 13 verses. It is good to see you here today. It's good to be here with you and beautiful weather. And we're just grateful for all the blessings that God gives us. I think I miss my mom still. You know, my mom died 6 years ago. And I think about her all the time. Think about my dad, too, who died about 12 years ago. And the blessings that we have, and we take them for granted, don't we, often. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed for him until an opportune time. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. Barry Bonds was one of the most gifted and talented baseball players to have ever put a uniform on. After the 1998 season, Barry, at age 34, had hit 441 home runs and stolen 445 bases. He had won 8 gold. The Spirit of God who lives in us. And so the first thing that happened in the ministry of Jesus was he went to the wilderness to fast and pray, and he was tempted by the devil. He was offered shortcuts. Now, he was not a passive victim. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. God always knows what's ahead for those who know him and follow him. But as we look at his temptation and victory over the temptation, I think we can see ways that we too can have victory over temptation, over the devil, the enemy of our souls. And I think in this passage of Scripture, we see that Christians resist in the power of the Holy Spirit the temptations that promise easy success. Christians resist in the power of the Holy Spirit the temptations that offer, that promise easy success. All of Jesus' temptations, I think, were temptations to take shortcuts to God's purpose for Jesus to be king and ruler of the world. You see, God purposed his son when he became the incarnate man, fully God and fully man. God purposed for him to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. That was his purpose. And the devil offered him shortcuts that promised him that this could happen. But you remember, the devil's promises are never any good. Jesus had no sinful nature. He was tempted by the devil to take shortcuts to achieve what would be rightfully his in the wrong manner. But he saw through the temptations. He resisted the temptations, not by his power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Luke mentions the power of the Holy Spirit often in his gospel, and shows us that just as Jesus, as the incarnate God, needed the power of the Holy Spirit, so do you and I to resist the devil. Jesus resisted the temptations in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Christians, we too, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can resist the temptations as we follow Jesus' example. So I just want to point out some the temptations that Jesus defeated that day. Christians can defeat the temptation by the power of the Holy Spirit and through knowing the Word of God to use our influences and abilities for our own selfish ends. The temptation is to use your influence, your abilities, whatever God has given you, for your own selfish ends. Now, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, as he was being prepared for the ministry and the cross that lay ahead of him, the Scripture says he was continually being tempted, and he was resisting the temptation. The Scripture says he fasted for 40 days, and he was hungry. If you fasted for 40 days, you'd probably be hungry too. And I don't think the fast was so much, I'm going to go fast for 40 days, but I think Jesus was so preoccupied with what he was getting ready to do, he just didn't eat. Now, I think there is a significance in that he fasted 40 days because the children of Israel went into the wilderness for 40 years, and they were defeated by the enemy. Jesus went in for 40 days, and he was victorious over the enemy. There are a lot of symbolic things in this passage. But after Jesus had not eaten for 40 days, he was hungry. He was hungry. And the devil saw his opportunity. He said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." The temptation. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. You see, at Jesus' baptism, you remember the Spirit descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And so the devil comes to him, and the devil says, if you are the Son of God, you can use your power to turn these stones into bread. Some have suggested that the stones that Jesus saw kind of looked like little loaves of bread, little biscuits. And so he tempted Jesus to use his power to turn stones to bread, to use his power selfishly. But there was also something deeper in this temptation. The deeper part was that he was saying, in effect, you don't have to wait on God the Father's time, and you can do it right now. You don't have to trust God to provide you the food that you're hungry for. You have the power to do it right now. Don't trust God. Use your power for yourself. The temptation reoccurs in all of our lives. You want something. You believe it is good. And you might even think that God wants it for you sometime in the future. The temptation says, don't trust God to bring about it in His time. Don't wait on Him. Get it now. Use your power and your influence and your human ability to make it happen. Get it now. Take the shortcuts. Barry, you don't have to wait 10 years to be considered one of the greatest players to ever live. Take the PEDs, and in a few years, you'll have 760 home runs. We're tempted that same way. It's the temptation, the voice. Smash that person on the ladder ahead of you in that job. You'll get that promotion and raise. You don't have to wait to get that car next year. You can just doctor your taxes just a little bit, and you can buy it this year. That's the temptation, to take a shortcut, to maybe even get what God wants us to have, but it's not yet time. How did Jesus handle it? Well, first of all, he remembered God's word. When you are tempted, remember God's truth, God's word. Don't forget his absolute realities. He remembered God's word and he responded, "It is written." He responded by remembering God's word in the temptation. It is written, and the tense of that phrase there means it is written and stands written forever. You see, whatever God says, you can count on it not only today but forever. It is written and stands written forever. He says, "Man does not live by bread alone." And Matthew tells us that he also adds, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man's life is found in his trust in God. And Jesus says, I don't have to get it now because I know God's going to provide it for me when the time is right. Jesus was not worried about where his food would come from. God would provide it. We live by doing things his way, not by taking shortcuts. Satan is tempting him to just use his power selfishly. Take shortcuts. You don't have to trust in God. You can make it happen for yourself. And Jesus says, man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. When you're tempted to take a shortcut to do something that you know maybe would make it easier for you to get where you want to go, but it's not the thing that you should do, remember God's word. Know it and know how to apply it to your life. There's another kind of temptation here. There's the temptation to ease success by worshiping someone than the only true God. Now the second temptation, in Matthew this temptation comes third, but in Luke it's second. And I think when you study the Gospel of Luke, you understand that Luke, one of his main themes is Jesus' journey to the cross in Jerusalem. And beginning in chapter 9, Jesus is focused on what's ahead of going to Jerusalem and dying on the cross. And so his focus is on the journey to Jerusalem, and I think that's the reason why Luke presents that as the last temptation instead of the second. But anyway, the temptation is he somehow shows Jesus, the devil somehow shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment. And he says to him, I have authority over all the world, and I can delegate authority to whomever I will. And if you will worship me, it'll all be yours. Well, first of all, is it true that the devil has authority over all the world and he can delegate authority to him or he will? Is that true? No, it's not true. It's not true. The devil is called the prince or the ruler of the world, but the world belongs to God. We sing the hymn, "This is my Father's world," and it is the Father's world. Just as the devil is a deceiver, he is self-deceived. See, he promises that he could give authority to whomever he wants, but he always promises stuff that he cannot deliver. He cannot deliver. The devil promises continually things that he will not deliver. God, the devil said to Adam and Eve in the temptation, you'll be just like God. And what happened? They discovered their own shame because they sinned, and they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Satan always overpromises. He promises satisfaction and peace and fulfillment, but he cannot deliver. He promises pure water that will quench thirst, but he gives you salt water that only increases your thirst. You see, the devil is a liar, the scripture says, and the father of lies. Don't believe his promises. He cannot deliver on what he promises you. He cannot deliver. So many people think he can. So many people are deceived. If I just, God says not to do it that way, but if I do it that way, I know I'll be happy. Well, no, it won't work out. Ultimately, it might be okay for a little while. The Bible says the pleasures, sin has its pleasures for a season. But ultimately, he will not deliver on his promises. The devil says to Jesus, I'll give all this to you if you'll simply bow down and worship me. It doesn't have to be that much, Jesus. Just offer a little worship. Just one little genuflection to me, and I'll give all of it to you. What's the essence of this temptation? It was, you can have it right now. Jesus, you don't have to go through the cross. You don't have to go through all that pain. I'll give it all to you right now. You can take the shortcut. If you'll just worship me just a little bit, is basically what he's saying. I'll give it all to you. Well, how did Jesus resist this temptation? Well, first of all, he remembered God's truth. When the devil throws a lie in your face, you remember God's truth. When the devil condemns you or accuses you and tells you you're a nothing, you're a nobody, you're worthless. You ever have the devil do that to you? You remember what God says about you, that he loves you and he's made you his child and you're more than a conqueror through him who loves you. You see, we need to remember God's truth and not buy into the devil's lies. Jesus remembered God's truth. He remembered the first commandment. What is the first commandment? It says, do not have any other gods before me. Don't worship anything but me. Your family, your job, your hobby does not deserve worship. God alone is God, and he deserves worship. You don't have to put anyone in the place of God, and you should not put anyone in the place of God. You don't have to brown nose or flatter that boss. You don't have to do those things. You respect men, you respect others, but you worship only God. Your family, your job, your hobby, your sports, there's nothing wrong with any of those things, but never let them take the place of the Lord God in your life. You don't worship or bow down to anyone or anything to achieve success other than the Lord God Almighty. You don't have to lie to cook the books, to change the work logs to achieve success. You don't bow to success. You only bow to the Lord God. He alone is God. He alone deserves our worship. You see, Jesus remembered God's truth, God's word. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and understanding the Word of God, we can too resist the devil. The temptation to easy success by worshiping something other than the true God. You know, it's easy to think success is found in yourself, and success is found in just putting that thing, that whatever it is you want, above everything else, but don't do it. Put God first always. And whatever he has for you, he will grant you success in those areas. It might not be how the world defines success, but it is. You know, I don't want to be a man who puts my job before everything else, and I get to the end of my life and my family is in shambles. And I've seen it happen again and again and again and again. I don't want to be someone who puts anything before the Lord God. I want to put him first, and then as I follow him, he will bless me in the way that he wants to bless him. It was God's will for Jesus to rule and reign forever and ever, and to conquer all the stuff in the world, and one day for every knee to bow to Him and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ alone is Lord. That was His will, but it's got to be God's way too, right? Resist the temptation to an easy success by worshiping anything other than the true God. And then finally, Christians resist the temptation to prove ourselves by presuming on God's promises. The devil had one more temptation for Jesus. He took Him to the pinnacle of the temple, and He said to Him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." The devil not only tempted Jesus again, but he tempted Him with Scripture. "Jesus, you can use the Scripture, so can I. I know the Scripture." The devil knows the Scripture. "If you are the Son of God, you can throw yourself off the pinnacle of the temple, but God will protect you. He won't let your foot be smashed against a stone." Now, according to A.T. Robertson, he said the Jewish historian Josephus thought that the pinnacle of the temple was a place in Herod's royal portico which overhung the Kidron Valley. And you would look down and there was a 450-foot drop from this place. It was a dizzying kind of sight. And the devil, as he was tempting Jesus, says, "It is written." He uses the words that Jesus had used in resisting the first two times. "It is written, He will command angels concerning you to guard you. Their hands will bear you up, lest your foot strike against a stone." You see, the devil knows the Bible. He tempts people to misuse and misquote it all the time, to use one passage against another, to make the Bible seem like it contradicts itself. You see, he can confuse us if we don't stay in the Word and not only know what it says, but how to apply it and what it means. The Bible never contradicts itself, but the world offers us all kinds of examples how it contradicts itself. Or the world offers us all kinds of examples of how we should apply it. Oh, we're never to judge anyone. You know, that's the favorite verse of the world these days. You know, don't judge. Well, what does that mean? You know, think about what God meant by that. It doesn't mean you don't discern between good and evil. Of course it doesn't mean that. Yes, God loves everyone. That's true. God loves everyone, but you have to receive and accept His love. Turn from your sins and turn to Him. The devil really wasn't even misquoting Scripture. He was just misusing it. The temptation for Jesus was to have Him prove God to others. Throw yourself down from the pinnacle and God will save you. Prove that what God told you is true. You know, defend God, take care of God. It's the temptation Jesus heard from the cross. He saved others. Why won't He save Himself? If you're the chosen one of God, save yourself from that cross. The temptation reoccurs later. If your God is real, have Him do this spectacular thing. Help God prove Himself. Now, how did Jesus respond this time? Well, His response is just a little bit different. Instead of saying, "It is written," He says, "It is said." It's a subtle difference, but I think it's an important one. Because you see, Jesus as the Son, as hearing the voice of God, He not only knows what it says, but He understands what it means. You see, I know what my Father means by what He says. Other people didn't always understand my father. You know, my father was, my father was funny. And he'd always say to me and my brothers, "You know, don't cry, Bob. Don't cry, Jack. You're never going to be as pretty as your daddy, but, you know, it's okay." You know, well, that's just my dad loving us. just kind of razzing us, helping us. But see, that was love to me when he said that. Other people said, whoa, I can't believe he said that. You know, how self-centered can you be? But I knew what he meant. You see, when you have a father, you understand. You not only know what he says, but you know what he means. You see, Satan can quote scripture, but Jesus understood it. And as we walk with God, we will understand what he means and what he says. The Word quotes scripture all the time and tries to make it say what it doesn't say. We need to be in it so that we will know what it means. You see, we're not confused by mental, verbal, or even theological gymnastics. God's promises are true, and we should depend on them, but we should never presume on them. You see, the devil was tempting Jesus to force God's hand. Does not God watch over and protect his children as they walk with him until he's done with what they want him to do? I believe that. I really do. But that doesn't mean I can go out here on 4:30 on Monday afternoon and put a blindfold over my eyes and walk across the six lanes of I-94. You see, we're not to presume on the goodness of God. We're never to put the Lord to the test. We're never to present the Lord to the test. You know, that kind of faith is actually taught by some people. If you just believe enough, you can claim it and you can kind of force God's hand. But you know, God's not obligated to you or to anybody else. Even as his children, he's not obligated to you. Yes, he will keep his promises, but don't presume upon him. We'd like God to show his power sometimes, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you like God just to strike down a bunch of people to show he's God, you know? We want him to do spectacular things. You know, answer this prayer to heal this person so that people will know I believe in you and I belong to you and I'm your servant. That's a temptation. And Jesus said, you don't put the Lord your God to the test. Are there times that God will work? Are there not times that God will work in spectacular ways? Of course he will. But that's always up to him. And that's never something I can force. We should never presume on him and try to get him to show himself. You see, if we think that way about God, there's something a little bit wrong with our faith. Yes, I do pray for God to heal people and to work in their lives. And I'm telling you, God has answered a lot of those prayers, but some of them he hasn't. Am I going to trust him? I'm going to try to force him, God, you know, do this. It'll really make you look good. Really make me look good too, right? Don't presume upon God. You see, God will not perform tricks on demand. And we should never presume on him to try to get him to do that. Don't be confused by some people teaching you a wrong application of faith or a wrong application of what it means to follow God. You see, the Word of God will never contradict itself. And even though the devil seemed to think it would, it doesn't. You see, don't put the Lord your God to the test. He doesn't have to prove himself to us. He's already proven himself. Say, how did he do that? Well, Jesus died for us. If you won't accept that proof that he loves you, nothing will convince you that he loves you. Resist by the power of the Holy Spirit the temptation to presume upon God and to get God to prove himself. You see, we're all tempted to take shortcuts to achieve. We want to take the easy way, the easy path. We're tempted to misuse our abilities and influence for selfish ends. We're tempted to take the shortcut of easy success by putting something else before God. And we're tempted to presume upon him. Don't do it. Do things his way. Jesus always did things God's way. He perfectly overcame the temptation. But understand this. Jesus didn't use his powers as the Son of God. He used He used the power that He makes available to us. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and He knew the Word of God. And that same thing is available to His children. God gives His children His Holy Spirit who lives in us. And He gives us His Word that we can read it and understand it and know all about it. And that's how Jesus defeated the enemy, and that's too how we can defeat the enemy. We can't defeat him in our own strength, our own self, but we can defeat him if we will walk with God, if we will daily ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, if we will know the Word of God and not only know what it says, but know what it means. We don't have to take shortcuts, because if we do things God's way, it always is best. You see, the devil promises things he cannot deliver, but I want you to know, God always, in His time, delivers on His promises. Father, we love You, and we thank You that we as human beings, we're often confused by all the wrong thinking, all the lies of the enemy. Father, help us to see You as You are, that Your Word is always true, that Your promises will not fail, that it is Your power, if we will do things Your way, Lord, that we will find life and success and everything we need. Don't let us buy into the lies of the enemy, who only wants to kill, steal, and destroy. Lord, You want us to have life and have it to the full, and help us to remember that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.